teenagers may not know their own power in the American economy. A herd of consumers who spend billions of dollars each year, not to mention the billions their parents spend on them. Their choices are often driven more by hormones and emotions than comparative shopping. What if teenagers en masse just decided to stop buying the stuff that's marketed to them so constantly and so cynically? The junk food, the cigarettes, the hateful music. What if they put together a boycott? We're not buying this stuff. Could they pull it off? Could they change anything? That's the premise of Like We Care, the first novel by Tom Matthews. He's a sometime Hollywood scriptwriter who lives with his wife and two sons in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, and joins us from member station WHAD in Milwaukee. Welcome.
Morning.
What touches off the boycott in Like We Care?
The story is kicked off by a high school senior named Todd. Todd has some ideas about how society works and is hyper aware of some of the cynical behavior of adults and primarily corporate America, primarily in the way that it sells a lot of garbage to teenagers without much concern for how it might impact them. So Todd comes up with the idea that maybe starting first of all just with the one local mini-mart in their small town, maybe they should send a message just by keeping their hands in their pockets and their wallets in their pockets and just stop spending money just to make a point.
Could you read to us about the convenience store where the boycott starts? We're seeing this through the eyes of the owner of the convenience store on page 57.
Right. This is a small mini-mart called the Happy Snack, which is run by a very angry Indian gentleman named Daljeet Singh. This is where the kids hang out and buy their junk food and things that, frankly, the store shouldn't be selling them, like cigarettes and beer. This is also ground zero for what turns into this national boycott. Not all kids stole, of course, because that would interfere with their spending. So they lined up five deep at the counter. These moneyed young jackals who took for granted the privilege of education rejected at the school down the street. This is what Daljeet Singh hated about them most of all, that they should be offered so much of substance only to throw it away in favor of squalor and frivolity. The money changed hands skillfully, smooth, uncalloused white palms emerging from pockets and wallets laden with cash to be deposited into the brown, needy palm of the humble store owner. Sometimes these children, aiming for a show of defiance and disdain in front of their friends, threw the money down onto the counter rather than into Daljeet's hand. He liked this fine, liked to see the cash spread out before him. To these hate-laden toughs, he always offered a timid bow and a slight tremor to the hand as he quickly, fearfully made their change. He wanted them to know how inferior he felt to their American swagger. He knew they'd come back two or three times during the day to buy more, just for the chance to sneer at a foreigner. Oh, the ways to make a dollar in this wondrous, wondrous land.
So this boycott is not pure idealism. There's a lot of anger among some of the kids, some racism.
One of my goals in writing this was to try to portray these kids honestly, and they're not all what they do is not always terribly admirable. Even as they sort of stumble into this enlightenment about how they're being manipulated for their cash and they start fighting back, it's never entirely clear if they're doing it for noble reasons or, again, just to anger adults. At heart, they're just teenage knuckleheads.
Which might be a good point for me to ask you, why did you write this book?
First of all, I'm a parent. When I started the book, I had two boys, and just like all parents, just became aware of the really nasty and noxious tone of a lot of the stuff that was being sold to them. And I just, because I've had some success writing satires attacking institutions, it seemed like a really obvious way to, if nothing else, just blow off some steam and go after some of these targets that I really think are deserving of some condemnation. I'm kind of staking interesting territory because if anyone does step forward to talk about the coarseness of society and things like that, it is inevitably the, you know, sanctimonious nags from the Christian right who I feel have no credibility on the subject, A, because so many of them are being exposed as hypocrites, but also because they come at the subject from such a pious and pure perspective in that you get the impression they wouldn't be happy unless television was just touched by an angel 24 hours a day. I sort of stake new ground because I'm coming at it from, I hope, a edgier and funnier and more honest, I guess you'd say, liberal perspective, in that I'm willing to sort of get down in the dirt and tell a story that is funny but also impertinent and, frankly, kind of foul-mouthed.
Frankly, kind of foul-mouthed. I couldn't find very many sentences that could be read aloud on the radio without editing.
Right.
Here you are satirizing the coarseness of the culture that's marketed to young people, but it's very coarse language. Why?
Right. Well, I'm not unaware of that. Most of the foul language comes from the artists and the corporate powers behind them who create this junk. And also, I should say that a lot of young people are reading the book and really responding to the book, and I think it is because I write honestly. I write the way kids talk and people talk, and it's inevitably going to turn some people off, but I think in the end, especially young people, are embracing the story because it is, it's not being censored for them.
I want to make sure I'm following your point, because you're saying, it seems to me, the coarse language, live and let live, kids talk that way, it's a way to communicate, but the vicious lyrics that your rap singer puts out, presumably you're not saying live and let live about that type of lyric. So where do you draw the line between coarseness that you accept and something that you're trying to change?
Well, that's what makes my position kind of tricky. Coming at pop culture from a more liberal perspective, certainly when I was a teenager, the stuff that drove me crazy was loud and vulgar and certainly nothing my parents wanted to hear. I just think over the past 30 years, the intensity of the material and the explicitness of the material, I think it's worse than it was before. I think it's more infectious than it was before. And I think a lot of parents really aren't aware of really how nasty some of this stuff is.
Tom Matthews' first novel is the satire Like We Care, published by Bancroft Press. Thanks.
Thanks.